Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play!
You bet one bone to win 19. What site do you use where you can actually bet $1?
They let you do 50-cent bets.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, literally, like, he dropped Superman down, like, the drain, comes out. Like, God damn it, Superman. I don't know, honey. I don't know where he got that from.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City.
Part of the DITCOW Sports Network.
Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big NBA show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in Southern California on an exciting time for, well, amidst the circumstances, a really exciting time in sports. Stanley Cup playoffs just started tonight. An amazing game between the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Lightning win it in a fifth overtime, about 10 minutes into the fifth overtime. Not quite 10 minutes, but almost 10 minutes into a fifth overtime session, making this the fourth longest game in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Quite an incredible situation. But the Bolts take game one, and we'll see what happens the rest of that series. Other action in the NHL, we can get to it another time. The topic tonight and the focus will be the NBA's bubble play. What they are calling the seeding games, warm-up games, regular season games, you can call it what you want. It's been great basketball, and Kristen Georgia has rejoined me, and we're going to do our next NBA report. It's been some time, and we have a lot of good stuff to bring to you, and just a lot of kudos to the association for setting this up. I mean, they've gone through some extensive protocols. They put in a lot of money into setting up the testing facilities and the lodging facilities, practice facilities, all inside of the Walt Disney World Wide World of Sports complex, part of Walt Disney World itself. And the lodging was in Walt Disney World proper. So, it housed 22 teams in the space of a theme park. Pretty good. So with that, we begin our next NBA report after a 5-month delay. Pretty close to that. Because I think, I'm trying to remember, when did they shut down the NBA? I think it was around the 14th of March, or maybe a little after. It's pretty crazy. So we've come all the way from there to here, where we've got still good basketball underway. And really, the quality has just been amazing. Let's jump it. The NBA report for August 11th. The NBA is back in action. We had the shutdown. We've had a lot of drama around us in the U.S. of A. But the NBA has done just remarkable stuff in formulating a contained environment. And to this point, we've had no major issues. We have not had any infections for COVID-19 in the last 3 weeks. Pretty fantastic. Definitely the last two. And that's really saying something. So they're doing a great job. And the action on the court has been spectacular. The Suns are making a run to the playoffs. Nets making a run to the playoffs. Blazers making a run to the playoffs. They just beat Dallas tonight, 134-131. A lot of high-scoring games. So let's get right to the action. And we bring in Chris to join us on the program. Chris, it's been a while since we've talked some hoops formally. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, Dave. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's the last time we really seriously talked about hoops was how they were shutting down the league, and we're talking about spent a good bit of time talking about Rudy Gobert and how his foolish antics really kind of paved the way for the league to really shut down and take this thing seriously. So.
Yeah, and a figure I heard today from a person who was actually part of a discussion on COVID-19 for my day job, at the UCLA's IPAM office, the Institute for Pure and Applied Mathematics. Now, why would they be doing a COVID workshop? Well, I think because the reason for that they would be related to this is because they have to come up with models to project what the virus can be, what the spread can be, how it can be contained, and there's a lot of math that gets involved with that. And you may even involve machine learning in that. That's why these talks are pertinent, to what we do at our office. So Dr. Leroy Sims, the director of, I think it was director of medical, director of medical operations with the NBA, was part of the setup and a very integral figure in setting up the bubble. And he offered a lot of good information during our discussions today. Really great. And if you happen to have listened to that on the YouTube live stream, you certainly had a very interesting discussion indeed, not just about the NBA and not just about coronavirus, but certainly some of the nuances that go around it too, and even just the mere ideas of coming up with models to project what things can be. Anyway, the point of all that is just to say that the NBA, he's mentioned that the NBA, or he, maybe he didn't mention it, but I think it was mentioned that the NBA invested like $170 million into formulating the parameters for this bubble, Chris. And I think it has been absolutely worth it because the basketball has been great and there's been relatively low amounts of drama, you know, especially when compared to baseball. I got to say, it's just been a tremendous job, Chris, and I'll give it to you to open up with your thoughts on the bubble so far.
Yeah, I did not. You sent me the link to that YouTube talk. I have not had a chance to watch it. I assume I can go back and watch it.
I don't know. I think it's possible. Just let me know. I'm not really sure because they said they were recording it, but there might have been an archive on YouTube anyway. So yeah, check it out. Let me know.
It's fascinating. That stuff is, you know, I love statistics. I'm not a wizard at it, but it really is interesting to me because, you know, you get into all these numbers like, you know, the R number, which is the infectious rate of the disease. And, you know, we don't quite know what it is. I mean, and it changes. And one of the big factors is how people behave. And so I've been seeing like, well, if the R number is, you know, over, you know, well over one, if it's two, it's, you know, the herd immunity number is had to be like 60-70%. That's the rate at which you know, the infectious the disease actually becomes less impactful because most of the population's been exposed. But if it's less than that, then the number goes down drastically. It's really fascinating stuff, so I don't want to get too far off. But I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to watch that. But yeah, you're right, man. It has been fantastic. I don't know what to attribute that to. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of things, you know, you erase the distractions, travel and family and the groupies and the nightlife and you just have guys who are pretty well rested and they have apparently very few distractions and the basketball's been sensational. How many games? It feels like every game is like coming down to the wire.
Yeah.
Or is, you know, overtime. I mean, it's been bananas. And some performances that were really, to me, quite unexpected. And you know, there have been some, like, you know, we just saw Damian Lillard score 60 points. And then, you know, some real disappointments, unfortunately, too. So,
yeah.
And it's, you know, I don't even know what to attribute it to. But overall, it's been fantastic. And, you know, I was joking with you last night. I mean, you throw out the Knicks. You get the Cavaliers out of there. You know, some of these, no Timberwolves. Yep. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, it's a much better league.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been terrific, and I've been, you know, I've been in and out. I mean, the problem that the other nice thing too, Dave. I don't want to go too far, but you know, I get off work and turn on the TV, and there's a game already in progress. You know. Like 6 o'clock Eastern time, it's like pretty amazing. I mean, that's really nothing for you, but for me, it's wild to, you know, just have all this basketball going on, and it's all staggered because everyone's in the same time zone. So, but overall, great, and I'm enjoying it, and it's a nice distraction, and Yeah, I wish baseball had followed a similar path.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they could have done a bubble like this, but certainly this has been just a terrific time. And honestly, like, the most striking thing to me was on day one of the bubble, or I think that was on TNT. Yeah, the first two games were Utah versus New Orleans, and then the Lakers-Clippers games. Yeah, that was the first day of the bubble. I was surprised at how little I had to adjust in terms of being the NBA viewer, because it just looked like a regular NBA game. It didn't look like there were awkward cutouts or anything. I don't have a problem with cutouts. I'm just saying, like, you didn't really notice it as much because of the way that the building was set up and the camera angles and because of the virtual fans on the video board too. But it didn't really bother me that there were no fans there. I didn't notice it as much just because I think it's an intimate enough setting as it is that you're not necessarily seeing the fans when they're actually playing. You usually see it like after the play, between plays, you know, before the quarter begins, halftime, whatever. But here, it's pure basketball. It really works out. And one other thing that I noticed immediately, you know, after the first weekend, the games have been insanely high scoring. And I think you can attribute it to two basic factors, which you pointed out already. Just eliminating all those shitty teams, like, that improves so much quality of play across the league. Like, eight teams, you don't have to worry about the Knicks. Sorry, Knicks fans, but we don't miss you. We really don't. Like, I haven't even thought about the Knicks at all. I haven't even said the word or had it in my mind. And then the lack of travel, as it would be expected, as everybody's inside of a 5-mile radius, lends itself to really, really easy. Really easy, easy commuting to from one place to the other, even from the practice court to the other place. You probably could walk to these places, you know? So it's really tremendous, and I think the setup has just been phenomenal. Chris, we got to talk about some of these teams that are rising in their effort to make the playoffs, and I'm really surprised in a pleasant way about the way the Suns have stepped it up. I mean, Booker had the game-winning shot against the Clippers a few days ago. Just an amazing time. You gotta give it up to the Portland Trailblazers and Lillard just scoring 30 points, 40 points, and tonight you mentioned 61 points against the Dallas Mavericks, who also have been playing pretty good, I think, for the most part. Give it up to the Brooklyn Nets, who we left for dead, and here they are starting to get healthy again and beating teams left and right, and in some cases they just flat out dominate. Now, the Nets took advantage of a good situation where the Clippers were pretty much wrapping up their season. They didn't really have a whole lot to play for. Maybe they could have moved up to two, moved up down to three, whatever. But the Nets were like, they knew they weren't going to get the Clippers' best on that night, despite having guys playing. I think even Kawhi played that game. Didn't matter. Nets just ran away with the game on Sunday. Those are the teams that really made it for me. I can't say enough. I mean, I did not expect these bottom feeders to really be fighting as hard as they are. It's really tremendous.
Yeah, along with the Knicks staying home, the Nets don't have Kyrie Irving, which is always a plus.
Ah, yeah, it's true.
It's funny how teams play better without him sometimes. It really is. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the Suns are 7-0 in the bubble. I mean, they're undefeated, and it's funny to watch because it's like, you can just kind of feel it. Like they're so pumped up and just excited to play with each other. And so they have a shot at the playing game now, I guess. I haven't looked at all the full playoff ramifications.
Let's go look at that. So we have the Blazers are actually in the driver's seat right now, but I think they're, like you said, there's going to be a play-in between the 9th seed and the 8th. So the Grizzlies are actually still doing okay in that regard. However, they've been struggling, and losing Jaren Jackson Jr. is a big part of that. They just haven't looked that great. And as you noted a few hours ago, Celtics really should have pounded them, and they did. They pretty much took care of them easily. But those Grizzlies are tied with Phoenix now because of the Phoenix win and the Grizzlies loss. So they are dead. They're in a dead heat with, actually, it's those two and the Spurs. I forgot about the Spurs. The Spurs have been playing pretty well too. Took down Houston. Houston did not play James Harden today in the game earlier in the afternoon, and the Spurs took advantage of that situation. They ran away with that game, so it actually was kind of expected. But these three teams have really been playing hard, and now you've got a virtual mini playoff within the playoff to get to that play-in round. It's really exciting, Chris.
Wait, what three teams? The Spurs, the Suns, and who?
Spurs, Suns, and Grizzlies tied for the ninth seed. And
yeah, then... but the Grizzlies, Dave, the Grizzlies have one win in the bubble.
Yeah, no.
I thought you were going to say the Blazers.
Well, the Blazers too, though, because yeah, the Blazers are a half game ahead of those other teams. So really, it's between all four of them. But you said, the Grizzlies are not. The Grizzlies should not be counted.
And I'll tell you, they weren't playing that well with Jaren Jackson Jr. And I'm not trying to diminish that, but they've been rough. They've been with the Pelicans really disappointing. I mean, for a team that was, you know, kind of in the driver's seat coming into this for that last playoff seat, they've squandered it a lot, which makes me happy because I really want that pick to be a lottery pick for the Celtics, but that's neither here nor there. But you're right. But kudos to the teams that played well. And the Suns,
100%.
Hats off, and that's great. And I hope, you know, I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to stray from your thought too much. But what I think about is, like, you know, in the end, it probably won't mean that much. I mean, if they are like the eighth seed, or, you know, or whatever comes of this, you know, if they maybe they don't win, you know, the play-in game. I wonder if there's some kind of carryover to next year. Like, look, we, you know, for this stretch, we were really good, and, you know, we played really well. And can that motivate them coming into the 2021-22 season? Wow, is that what it is? That's crazy. But you know what I mean? Like, it would just be kind of cool to see if there's that same kind of carryover into next season.
Yeah, and of course, the other question that comes up when we talk about the future in the NBA is, will there be a bubble next year too? And that's a little too far in the future for me to really speculate on. So it'll be interesting to follow that, but I'm not really worried about that now. It's been great. So yeah, let's talk about the disappointments too. Memphis is a big one. You hit that on the nose. But the biggest one, I think, without question, is New Orleans. It's like they set this up specifically for them to make the playoffs, and they tanked. I think they won a single game like this entire time, and they're probably going to lose tonight to Sacramento as well. It's pretty rough. Like, I mean, I knew that their defense was going to be a problem, but everything from the point that they benched Zion for the final minutes of the game to manage minutes or manage an injury or whatever they said it was, I don't think that makes any sense. I mean, this is a do or die game. You had it in the bag. And then they blew it against Utah, who, by the way, is not playing well either. They stink. But are they playing a little better, Chris? What do you think? What do you think about the Utah situation versus...
They've had a few really rough losses where they kind of led the whole way. We watched the Denver Nuggets game on Sunday. And I'm just looking at the schedule because there were two that came to mind.
Well, Utah, too. I mean, Dallas, too. They just roared back.
Yeah, it was Dallas on Monday, and it was Denver on Sunday. And both those games, they had the lead late in the game, and they coughed it up. And you're right, Dave. They are combined 2-5 in the since they restarted. Tough losses though, so you kind of feel bad for them. But I think when it started, I'm trying to remember. I think the standings were really close in. To that, you know, to that third seed, and they've fallen way off the pace. And Denver's cemented that now. Really, only a game and a half behind the Clippers in total record, and Utah's fallen all the way to the sixth seed in the West. So that's they've been a disappointment too. I wasn't thinking about them because they've been in a lot of really good games against good teams. But and then the Pelicans, you're right, they've won two games since league play has resumed, and they were against the Grizzlies, who we already mentioned have been terrible, and also the Washington Wizards, who somehow managed.
I still don't know how they got in.
Well, they got in, but they also managed to fall behind the in percentage points behind the Charlotte Hornets, who were not fortunate enough to get in. So they they actually
fell behind a team that didn't even play. That's pretty bad.
Charlotte's their lottery pick is looking worse now because they didn't have a chance to tank, I guess, and because that's the way to look at it. So so kudos to the Wizards. They somehow improved their their draft selection.
Something for everyone to play for.
Yeah. And I mean, in fairness to them, they've been playing without Bradley Beal, who did not come in. Probably one of the biggest names of players who did not rejoin their team in Orlando. Those were the ones that stuck out to me as disappointments. The Pelicans, you nailed it, man. They've been. I'll tell you too. Zion's really not been impressive. I know he rejoined late, but he looks really out of shape and just kind of unmotivated, really, to me. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, I haven't really seen the energy from him the way you see it from like Booker and Dame and even CJ on the same team. You know, these are faces of their respective franchise and they're playing like it. And Zion is just kind of like, I'm just here to have a good time. And like, I don't really see the competitive drive in, at least not this week. So I'm actually with you on that. And it's interesting that it hasn't been brought up much in the NBA media.
And I'll tell you something else. I mean, I was bagging on Memphis, but much respect to Ja. He's really good. Tonight I was watching that game and because I wanted to watch my favorite team, but you know, I wanted to see him and he was fantastic. I think he had like 13 assists. I mean, some real eye openers in that mix and really was carrying the team and keeping them in it. And he's going to be a superstar, Dave. I mean, there's no question about it. I think Memphis really lucked out and they got a good one in him and he's going to be one to watch come forward. But you know, there was talk, maybe Zion can win the rookie of the year before, the league resumed and I'm sorry, there's no question who the rookie of the year is in my mind.
It just reminds me a little bit of baseball last year because it's sort of a comparison of hype versus someone who just comes in and dazzles people. Actually, I don't even say that because they both were hyped pretty well going into the draft. So I can't use that comparison, but I would have said that between the two, I actually thought that Fernando Tatis Jr. was the rookie of the year until he got hurt because he was so good. Like he was doing everything. Pete Alonso won it because he fit like 50 home runs. But beyond that, is he really as good a player as Fernando Tatis Jr.? I mean, you've seen both guys. I wouldn't say that's the case as of right now. So, is that a hot take? Maybe, but I mean, honestly, everything I've seen has just been dazzling. I mean, maybe because I get to see him more, but man, Tatis Jr. is amazing. So that's kind of where I'm at too. I'm like, I think it's a situation where both of these guys are really highly touted. Zion certainly more so. And Ja has just shown it in terms of his competitive drive to complement his incredible talent. We saw it in the NCAA tournament way back when he was with Murray State and they had the big upset. And they come into here in the NBA, you'd think, oh, it's the NBA. You know, maybe the talent will catch up to him. But he's still doing really well. So I'm with you. I got to give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, he's a joy to watch. He's very creative. One of the most explosive players I've seen in a while too. He's just such a good athlete. And he's going to be, the league's in good hands with guys like that on what are, in my mind, what is a pretty bad team right now, but we'll be getting better soon.
I think so. I mean, with some good moves, it can happen. I think they were in a transitional year to begin with, you know. Let's talk about some of the big performers in the bubble. I'm going to call them bubble standouts? Yeah. So we already covered a few of them. Lillard, definitely. We covered Booker, definitely. It's just a slam dunk. Great job out of him in the bubble. And I'll give you a couple more. TJ Warren of the Indiana Pacers has just been just lighting it up. He has been so good. And it's fascinating that we would talk about the, you know, having Oladipo on the team and how he's almost holding him back. I don't think there's any point of having him on the team anymore because Warren is a guy. Like, he just drained the basket when the Pacers were playing the Lakers, and the Pacers won that one going away. Another one, Michael Porter Jr., really good. And I'm going to give a shout-out to one of your guys, Brad Wanamaker, who was filling in, I think, while Kemba was trying to recover from his various injuries. He played pretty well. He's a pretty good reserve for Boston. I thought he did a pretty good job. So let me give it to you. Who are some of the standouts for you in the bubble so far?
You've been talking of Wanamaker a lot. he's fine. He's good. He's exactly what he needs to be. He drives Celtics fans crazy.
Right.
But he's a good spot up shooter, and he's everything you want in a reserve point. But So Lillard's one. I mean, another guy who you didn't mention, but. And had a bit of a disappointing game tonight was Doncic, but he's been pretty amazing. I just want to look at the Mavs record since they restarted, but they've been really good, and they've had some nice wins. They have four losses. They're 3-4. I mean, so after tonight's loss, so. But he's been really good. But tonight he missed a big free throw that would have tied the game up with under a minute left, and then just overall shot really poorly, shot 2 of 8. But overall he's been amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. Anthony Davis has been great. I mean, a lot of names aren't real big surprises from that standpoint. But Dame, what more can you say? He's been terrific, and he's kind of carried the load on his shoulders. Really, they look like a team that they're kind of fired up. And when they played Boston, I think he scored 30, and in retrospect, that kind of looks good. they held him to 30. Yeah. I want to just see. I just want to see what they're – so they have one game left against the Nets. Okay, that'll be good. They only have 2 losses. So they're 5-2 since play resumed. So they've been kind of on a mission to get in there. And because I'm trying to remember last year, were they the 4 seed?
That's interesting because it's really interesting we talk about this now, because pre-bubble I was down on Portland. I was like, oh, we don't need the Portland in the playoffs. Remember that? I said the team that we need to hear from the least in the playoffs was Portland, and I gotta say mea culpa on that. They have really stepped it up since that time.
That's a bad job. I mean, they were the 8 seed last year, but they made the conference finals, right? What am I nuts?
I don't know if they went that far. They did have they did win a round though last year in the playoffs. Let me look that up too.
Wait, hold on. I'm looking at the wrong season.
But I remember we were talking about, where did it go wrong for Portland? Oh my goodness, they're gonna miss the playoffs. What a disappointing year it's been. But as the time seems to get later and later, and as the season gets more important. These are the moments where Dame just steps it up. I mean, we saw him have the game winner against Houston years ago to win a series. Remember that? That was a great game. More of the same, honestly. Like, he's just a big-time player. So, you worry a little bit because they're such perimeter guys. Like, they do a lot. They shoot a lot of outside shots. But it's not to say they can't penetrate. They can. It's just that... they do tend to gravitate toward the outside shot. So you want to see some ball movement, in that scenario. But honestly, I'm not really complaining about that right now. They've looked very good. So all the props.
Okay, so they were the 3 seed. I wasn't far off. They were the 3 seed, and they were in the conference finals.
Did they beat? Okay.
What's that? Yeah, they got swept by the Warriors.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
But Dame was fantastic in the playoffs last year too.
Gotcha. I thought that the Pelicans were in the playoffs for some reason and Portland beat them, or was that the year before?
I don't think the Pelicans made it last year, did they? No.
Nah, Pelicans are bad, huh?
Yeah, they were terrible because they because remember AD didn't play.
Oh yeah, he skipped the rest last month of the season.
Yeah.
Just sat out. That's pretty bad.
I can't say I blame him.
No, I mean we've talked about that too. Like, we thought that their franchise doesn't really deserve that kind of respect anyway. So, good point. But anyway, to really summarize, you know, they were the 3 seed. They were in the playoffs. They had a good run. They made it to the conference finals. I'm seeing this, and you're right about those things. They were really struggling around January, and I was pretty much writing their demise, you know, before it was official on this podcast. They come in, they've taken advantage of a great situation here in the bubble, and I got to give them a lot of credit. So this is the time for me to really give them their due respect, because I think they've earned it. They've really played great. As you alluded to, though, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be making a run to the conference finals again. It doesn't really necessarily guarantee anything in that regard. But I think the idea that they're fighting this hard to get into the playoffs is really cool to see. That's a really cool spot. I certainly haven't had a lot of negative things to say about Terry Stotts as a coach. And I think this is one of his finest moments. He's done a great job.
Yeah, he's a good coach. I like him a lot. Yeah, it's so weird how topsy-turvy the West can be, right? Last year there was the Warriors. I think the Rockets were the 4 seed, and Denver was 2. I mean, Denver's like kind of been the rock there. I mean, they're 3 seed now.
Yep.
And then Portland was 3, and Houston was 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, like, the Lakers weren't even in the playoffs, or the Clippers last year. They were. Trying to remember where they finished, but they, you know, it was a very different looking scenario, you know.
Yep.
I mean, from one year to the other. Clippers, yeah, the Clippers were the 8 seed last year. It's kind of crazy. It is surprising. But cool to see, though. I like Dame a lot, and yeah, I saw a stat today. Like, I think 2 players have had more than 60 point games in a single season. And it's Dame Lillard and Will Chamberlain.
Will Chamberlain? Oh my
That's
goodness.
It. Wow. 2 players with 3 60-point games in an NBA season.
That is unbelievable. Gotta give him all kinds of credit for that.
Yeah.
You have to be really good to do that. If you're saying that Michael Jordan didn't even do it, and Dame did, that's pretty special. It's pretty special.
Here's another funny thing. So you mentioned T.J. Warren. I mean, T.J. Warren was a son for most of his career. And I'm trying to remember, did he go directly to Indianapolis or Indiana after Phoenix? Yes. So this was his first year. And he went to Indy, and yeah, you're right. He's been putting up insane numbers, which is – he's always been like a pretty good player, like, you know, just kind of a bench player, maybe a 6-man type, comes in, provides a little bit of scoring. But it's been unreal to watch him as like kind of like the go-to guy on that team
Oladipo?
Oladipo, yeah.
Yeah. Nah, take their time. They can take their time getting him back. You don't really. Is he still hurt? I'm sorry that I don't remember this, but is he still?
Well, he was. I don't think he came back before the league stopped play. And I think he was just about ready to.
Mm-hmm.
Did he? No, I am wrong. He played 15, or he played 18 games.
Okay.
This year.
So he did play.
Did play.
He did play.
But yeah, I don't, you know, I think he he just decided he wanted to risk it. And I have no problem with that.
I don't have a problem with that on his end. I think I more power to any player that decides to opt in for things bigger than basketball. I don't have a problem with that at all. But just as importantly, I don't think the Pacers have a problem with it either, because I feel like he was almost taking away from the team. I don't know what his net rating was when he was playing for them, but man, this team just flows so much better with Warren. He is so good. Like I don't think anyone's complaining here.
It's kind of funny to think about that. But
yeah, it is. Top seeds. So most of them have been playing pretty flat. Let's just be honest. Like the Bucks haven't looked very good. Lakers haven't looked very good. But one thing to remember is that some of these guys are trying to bring in different players because guys did opt out. Big one was for the Lakers is Avery Bradley, who was one of their best defensive perimeter defensive players, and him not being on the team was definitely a big blow. So they're trying to work in different guys. Deion Waiters is one, J.R. Smith is another, and I think there is one other. And the Lakers are doing what they can with that, and they've done okay. People are really getting on the Lakers. Like, I saw a headline on NBA.com today, Chris, that says, "Are the Lakers ready for the playoffs?" I'm like, really? We're worried about whether they might be ready for the playoffs? Like, they clinched the one seed. It's like, what do you want them to do? Like, you want them to beat teams by 50 after they've already clinched everything? Like, they need to get rest. You don't want anyone to get hurt. So, kind of feel similarly about Milwaukee. Even though I'm not that impressed with them anyway, but honestly, it's not a big deal. Like they're not playing all out. They shouldn't. Same thing for the Clippers. Same thing for Denver, who basically played their entire bench in the fourth quarter in that game against the Lakers. It was a fun game, and it was really cool to see Kuzma get the game winner. But I didn't take that game that seriously. It's not that important, real in the long term. The one thing that's played really well is Toronto, and it's kind of wild because they don't need to do that. But here they are. They're playing their guts out. They look great. Maybe they're just trying to get a message out to the rest of the league that, hey, don't forget about us. Like, nobody talked about us during the season or before the season, and we are the defending champions. It's like the most invisible defending champion ever, and it's not their fault. It's just that no one just wants to talk about them. It's all about LeBron. It's all about Giannis. It's all about the Warriors tanking. It's all about the Clippers and Kawhi. You have to go like five headlines before you get to the Raptors, which is crazy because this is a good team. This is a very good team playing at a high level. So, Chris, let's get your thoughts on the top seeds. And actually, let's take that step further. What are your predictions for the first round as we get into that? We don't have anything decided, but just, you know, project as best as you can.
Well, okay. You said a mouthful there, so I just want to address some of those things. One, I think you're totally right. Like, the top seeds, there was no incentive for them other than just to kind of keep tuned up.
Yep.
And so I think you saw that with some of definitely with the Lakers. And you're right. They were trying to bring in these new faces because – the Avery Bradley thing was, and Rondo's not there either. So they lost two key players, right?
Yeah, that's right. Rondo's hurt. That's right. They lost him too.
And one thing I will say about the Lakers, I'm not going to overreact to the way they played. They haven't played that badly. I mean, they had an exciting game last night as we watched.
Yep.
Was that the Nuggets game?
Yeah, that was against Denver.
Kuzma hit the three at the buzzer. To win it.
Yeah, it's pretty much the buzzer. Like 0.3 seconds left. I mean, yeah. As good as a buzzer beater.
One thing I'll say is that they were definitely outside of the big two. They were having problems scoring, and Kuzma, I think, is going to have to be the guy. I mean, that Waiter showed me a little bit. I can't remember which game, but showed a little bit. I feel like he's still kind of rusty. And I don't trust J.R. Smith at all. And I think if, outside of LeBron and AD, I think Kuzma's got to be the man to be the third guy in that scoring punch. But I totally agree. I think once they clinched the one seed, and same thing with Milwaukee, there wasn't really that much to say. I agree with you about Toronto. They've been really impressive. it's so funny because if we went back and listened to our previews from, you know, back in September or whatever it was of last year, you would have heard me saying that maybe Toronto at the trading deadline might be thinking about
blowing it up.
dealing, you know, Lowry and Gasol to contenders, which, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
well, we both were wrong about Philly too. Like, we thought that the Sixers were going to make a huge run. We thought they were in the finals. We were like, oh man, this is going to be their year. And now they're without Ben Simmons for the remainder of the season, for all intents and purposes.
And who knows? Embiid is hurt too. Yeah. I don't know how long. I mean, hopefully it's not too serious, but Simmons sounds bad. And those are two guys, I mean, you know, who missed their rookie seasons. I mean, did Embiid miss more than one season? I can't remember. It feels like he did.
Simmons did, yeah.
Simmons did, though.
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, when you get injuries and to players who missed a lengthy period of time, you start to wonder. And I don't wish him any ill will, but it's something to keep an eye on. Yeah. But so top of the conference. Yeah, I feel this. I feel about basically the same way about Clippers. I feel like they kind of coasted, and they do that. Doc has kind of been known to do that. He rests players, and I don't feel like we've really seen the Clippers yet. So that'll be fun. First round. I mean, you know, the top seeds are going to win, right? I mean, we're talking about. I mean,
let's see.
So as it stands now, the Lakers would have. Let's assume the Lakers would have Portland, right?
Well, man, that's going to be some play-in round. Look at that. Look at the what could be in that play-in round. Like, you have, like, Mavericks, Blazers. No, not the Mavericks. The Blazers, Grizzlies. So, check. Blazers, Suns, and Spurs. Oh, my goodness. That Any two out of those three is going to be an epic play-in round. Three games and then best of three. That's probably going to go all three. Like, that's just – those are teams that I feel like can go back and forth with one another. In fact, we saw it tonight. Like, we saw, or maybe not tonight, but we've seen it before earlier in the bubble, where Blazers and Spurs, Blazers and Suns, Suns and Spurs, Suns and Trailblazers, all these teams have had some pretty good games. So I agree. This could be very interesting. So, you know, out of all of that, one of the teams is going to play the Lakers. It's like, yeah, I mean, as good as this has been, I think the Lakers will probably win that series, don't you?
Yeah, I don't. It's not even going to be, you know, they're going to be worn out, and then the Lakers would not be worn out. The Lakers are just better.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the top four seeds in each conference. So let's look at the West. We talked about the Lakers.
Right.
The Clippers, we talked about a little bit. I feel like, you know, they really haven't shown what they're capable of, because, you know, let's face it, they've been resting Paul George and Kawhi, you know, for long stretches of the season. So they're still kind of an unknown in terms of, like, how good they can actually be, what their ceiling is. But I think they're pretty awesome. And I don't see them, you know, losing. Well, that series could be interesting against the Mavs, but I don't think they're going to have any problems there. And then, let's see, Denver 3. Denver's been unreal in the bubble, and just kind of played like a different team. Like, they've been playing really big. And, you think about, like, Jokic, and we talked about Michael Porter Jr., who's, I think he goes 6'10". And Plumlee plays big minutes. And then Bol Bol has been playing a lot, and they've been getting him rotation minutes, and he's an interesting player too. They're a team that's kind of set up to give teams, I mean, you know, like, the Lakers fits, because one of the things the Lakers have is size advantages, and a team like Denver is set up to play against that, because they are so big. So, you know, Denver against Utah, who we've mentioned, has been struggling. And then Houston, Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City's been really good. They've been a surprise team, in my opinion. But I really think Houston's pretty formidable. And I just don't see any of the top four seeds losing in the first round. I don't know. I mean,
Nah, especially if like the Rockets somehow play the Jazz in the first round. I mean, that is over. Like, it will be a very short series.
Well, it would be Denver against Utah, right? I mean,
so right be, now it is, but I'm just assuming, like, let's say that the Thunder lose the next game or so, and then the same for the Jazz, winning a game or so. This is what I was alluding to in the text earlier, where I'm like, I don't think the Jazz necessarily want to win too much going in the
right. Right. Mm-hmm.
I think they feel like they'd have a better matchup with Denver, believe it or not.
Wow, that's something, man. I don't see them having any shot against either of those two teams.
You know, in the end, it's probably right? Like, how would would they really be that much better against Denver? Like, their defense is unbelievable. And the Jazz, as we talked about, they don't have much depth at all. I mean...
Well, and they're just a team that, I mean, I like Mitchell a lot, but they just don't have those other scorers on the team. That's been the problem.
Yep.
And... you just, like, in the playoffs, and that's always kind of been the problem with that team, is that, when Mitchell gets a double team or he draws the tough assignment, it's like, okay, Ingles, you know, make your shots. And, you know, I'm not saying you can't, but I'm, if he's your second best option and on offense, and your margins are pretty tight, so I don't know. So we'll see. Like I said, the West, I'm on chalk. East, are there any interesting? Why don't you do the East? What are your thoughts?
The Western Conference, I think I agree with you. I feel like it's going to be all upper seeds. I mean, the Rockets, for all the weird stuff they've been through and the small lineups and everything else. That Spurs lineup today looked a lot smaller than the Rockets. It was hysterical. Like, they looked tiny compared to even Houston today.
Well, here's the thing about Houston, if I may interject one thing. They are small, but in terms of just pure height, I mean, but it's funny. You look at their wingspan, those guys all, like, have really, really – they're deceptively tall, like – I can't remember. I remember looking at this was before the whole COVID thing came down, but their front court with like Covington and PJ Tucker is deceptive. I mean, because he's got a huge wingspan for a guy who I think he goes like 6'5", but he's got like the wingspan of like a much much taller player. So they actually are not a terrible defensive team in the half court, which is really interesting. I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail your thought there, but I just wanted to throw that in.
I think that's pretty much my take. I mean, pretty much mirroring your points. I mean, I don't see the Clippers losing to the Mavericks, although it is going to be an interesting situation when you've got a dynamic player like Luka, you know? I think the Clippers would be wise not to overlook this team. As bad as the Mavericks defense is, that is not a team that you should take lightly because they can score very well. I would just the key for the Clippers is motivation. Don't overlook this team. Otherwise, the Mavericks can tell you all about it because they did it with Golden State back in 2007 and they got burned hard. So that's the only thing about the Clippers. Like, just make sure that they play this thing and treat them with the same amount of respect that they treat anybody else, and they'll be all right. Lakers, same situation. I think I'm honestly not worried at all about this, but they should match up fine with any of these teams. I think it'll be interesting. It might be closer than you think, though, because you still have to account for the fire in some of these leaders. You know, Lillard, Booker, they're tough outs, definitely. And DeRozan, too, on the Spurs, too, to an extent. And so let's go to the East. We covered the West ad nauseum. Well, if you thought that the West is going to be a cakewalk for the top seeds, then the East is just going to be like that times more, I think. The only series I think could be really close would be the Heat-Pacers. But on the other hand, I mean, Spo versus whoever coaches the Pacers, kind of like Spo there, you know? Celtics should take care of this. Ooh, wow. Could it really be Celtics Sixers? Wow, wow, wow.
Celtics Sixers, yep.
Wow. What do you think about that series? That would be very interesting. They should win. I mean, honestly, they should win easily, actually. But
yeah, I mean, I think losing Simmons, who's, you know, one of the top defenders in the league, I think he led the league in steals, is just such a huge loss. And, you know, he kind of runs their offense. It's a weird team, man. They don't have – I don't know. I mean, Horford just looks – I've watched Horford a lot over the last 10 years. I mean, he looks kind of near the end right now. I mean, I saw him a lot with the Hawks and obviously with the Celtics like the last three seasons. And he looks like he's ready to hang it up. I don't know. I mean, I just – you know, the Celtics didn't play the Sixers particularly well in the regular season. I think they opened against them and lost. Actually, that was a close one. But you know, that was when they were at full strength. And the Celtics, I think they were missing at least one player. I think they were missing Hayward in that game. The Celtics have looked a lot better. I mean, we mentioned teams that have played well in the bubble. The Celtics played really well. And you mentioned how well Toronto's playing. Celtics just blew their doors off last weekend. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just feel like when Boston's on top of their game, they can play with anybody in the league. And I think the Sixers are really depleted. And then if you want to talk about coaching, I mean, I don't have any confidence in what the Sixers bring there. So so I like Boston. I agree Miami and Indiana could be good, but you're right, Spo is such a good coach and he's battle-tested. But that would be the one that would be interesting to me. I mean, Toronto, Brooklyn, I don't care. I mean,
yeah,
exactly. I mean, I care, but I don't see that going anywhere.
Nah,
and
probably.
Milwaukee, Orlando. I mean, Orlando, another team that's not great, but is well-coached. Yeah, I mean, I think if I had to pick one playoff series that if I could only watch one, I think it would be Dallas Clippers, you know? That would be the one that would be like, this could get interesting.
I think so, too. I mean, I did say the Clippers would be fine, but I have opened the door for Dallas to be giving him a little bit of a push, you know? Like, I think this could be pushed to 6, and it might even be pushed to 7. It's a neutral site anyway. There's no home court advantage for either side, so...
Yeah, no, and that's going to be another interesting thing to watch, Dave. It's just like, you know, so much is based on home court, and we've eliminated all that, and it's just like, okay, it's like, you know, just may the best team win. And, you know, I love it. I really think the travel thing wears teams out, and scheduling, and, you know, oh, the back-to-back, or this team's on a back-to-back, and they, you know, or, you know, they just came off this Western swing and they come home and whatever. I mean, you just eliminate all those variables and all of a sudden you're like, well, guys are at the top of their game for the most part. So,
I think the most hysterical part of all, first of all your points are great. Like, I think the lack of travel has contributed to an increased improvement in the quality in just the entire league, just in general. I just think the whole thing has been really great, and it will continue to be really great in the playoffs for exactly that reason. You won't have as much travel, and I think we're just going to get better basketball out of it. It's really great. I think the funny thing is that we have not talked at all about the play-in series for the East. Who cares, right?
It would be Washington against Orlando. Is that what we're looking at?
I think that's it. There's no Hornets. So yeah. That's all you got. Yeah.
I mean, I can't see Washington winning that. I mean, they've been terrible. I mean, the Magic have been competitive at least in their games. I don't know what their record is. I'm just checking. It's, you know, small sample. Well, I mean, I saw them play against the Celtics. They only won 2 games or 2-5, but in the Celtics had to basically come back and win that game in overtime. And they've, well, for the most part, the games have been pretty close. I mean, they got blown out by Toronto, but they lost by 10 to Toronto. So, you know, they haven't embarrassed themselves, but I just think Washington is just, you know, I mean, again, without their best player, the team is a mess. Do you give them any chance in that series against Orlando? I mean, I know you said who cares, but.
I think it turns out we're not even going to have to worry about that. I wanted to go back to the 2020 FAQ, and I did. And the
it's not even going to be a play-in.
It's not even going to happen because four games or more ahead of the other team that's below you, you're in.
Okay,
that's you don't even have to do the play-in game. So that's good for us because we did not need to see another Magic Wizards game, did we?
No, I mean the one interesting thing that we've seen with it's not that interesting. I was thinking Isaac Bonga has had some nice games for the Wizards, but I mean he's played a lot of minutes. Actually, he's played 30. But he's averaging like 30 minutes a game since league play resumed. But but he's been okay. But you know, former Laker, so you know him a little bit. I'm glad that there's no playing game there. Wouldn't make sense actually. Just based on the standings.
No, it's too much space. So I'm glad that they added that qualifier in there. One thing that we should look at, though, is the potential tiebreakers between those bottom teams in the West, because there's a very distinct possibility that the Suns and the Spurs will have the same record at the end of the season. That's a little intriguing. So that would probably go to tiebreakers. And there actually is a tiebreakers. There's that tiebreakers page at NBA.com. You go to stats.nba.com/playoff-picture, and it will give you the tiebreakers. That is fascinating. That is
so. Really the first one's head to head, right? I mean, it's got to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Certainly. And if we look at what the situation is between, I'm not gonna, like you said, I'm gonna ignore Memphis because I feel like they're done. So between Phoenix and San Antonio. Strength of schedule favors Phoenix.
Well, what's the head-to-head? Do you know that off the top of your head?
I don't have it on me yet. Well, it says winners again. Yeah, let's see. Conference record. That's a great question. I should check that, too. That I think head-to-head would certainly be a factor. So let me see.
I would think it would be the first tiebreaker, no? Yeah. Is it not? Am I wrong?
No. It almost always is. And, I mean, it just shows them above San Antonio right now, you know? But... let me look at that. I'd like to find out. Let me see. Suns head to head Spurs. Actually, you know what? There's an easy way for me to do this. Hold on. Yeah, there you go. I got it.
They're 1-1 against the Suns.
That's is that right?
I think so.
Let's see.
I'm just looking at their schedule on Basketball Reference.
Well, they played in December as well. So they lost that game. Did the Suns lose to who?
They won in overtime in December.
Spurs won in overtime in December, yeah.
Then they're 2-1. So the tiebreaker, if it's head to head, is the first tiebreaker. San Antonio wins that.
Okay. So they're not ahead of them yet, but that's just because there's still a game in hand. Like the record is not exactly the same. So there's a game in hand that has to be assessed, I think, over the next couple days. But if the record were identical, San Antonio gets the nod just based on the head-to-head. And I think that's fair. I do think that's
fair. But the Suns play Dallas in the last game, and the Spurs play Utah. Interesting.
Ooh,
so
that is. Wow.
That'll be a tough one. Oh, I mean, I guess, look at Dallas in the standings. I mean, do they care about that game at all?
I mean, they might care from the standpoint of, no, they're clinched. The seven seed's clinched. They can't move up. They can't move up
or down. So, yeah. I mean, conceivably, both teams could win those last two games.
How many games do we have left? We have two at this point? Let's see. 16.
No, there's one more game left.
Just one. Wow. So if that's true, then, yeah, they can't move up or down because they're about a game and a half back of Utah now. So that won't be enough. Okay.
So they can't be a tie. You're telling me there cannot be a tie between the Spurs and the Suns is what you're saying?
There can be a tie between the Spurs and the Suns, but you were asking about Dallas, and I was just wondering
if
and Utah might have something going, but no, there's no scenario there. So Utah and Dallas don't necessarily have much to play for at all in that situation, you know, between them and the two bottom teams. Just maybe they could play the role of spoiler or something, but So they're not going to be packing it in, but they don't exactly have a scenario to play for themselves at this point. Utah does a little bit because they could technically get ahead of Oklahoma City, but I don't think they want to. We talked about that already. They do not want that matchup with Houston. So I would be surprised if they put a lot of effort in that game. It's interesting. Anyway, it'll be fun. So, Chris, let's give it to you for any other thoughts as you have, as you project into the next few days, play-in series, first round. Any final thoughts from you before we wrap it up tonight?
Nothing really, other than just it's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, I know I talked to you before this, and I wasn't even that gung-ho about it, and I didn't know what it was going to look like, and I was just in general pretty skeptical, but this has worked out really great. It's been very entertaining. The game's been good for the most part. There have been a lot of close games, a lot of games that go into overtime or win at the buzzer. One thing we didn't mention, I love the fan videos on, you know, what do you call it, the virtual fans?
Yeah,
virtual fans. That's a really nice touch. Yeah. I didn't know how that was going to look. I think it's hilarious. So overall, it's been great. I'm enjoying it, and I look forward to the playoffs.
Me too. When they're coming right around the corner this weekend, we should have some juice there. When we meet again for the NBA report, we'll be into the playoffs, and we'll probably have a chance to recap that qualifying round series, the play-in series. I hope it's a great series. It should be really fun. So until then, have a great rest of your week. Chris, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks again, and I'll see you soon.
Thanks so much, Dave. Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right, you too. Thank you, Chris. All right, so that's Chris in Georgia. Just tremendous to talk about basketball again in earnest. Good times, and we hope you've enjoyed it too. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. My name is Dave Medina. You can catch us all on our Apple Podcast feed, Dave in the City Out West. Our website is ditcow.com. Our Twitter is @ditcow. And you can find us on Facebook, also at Dave in the City Out West. Or go to facebook.com/ditcow. That's where you can find all of our social media activity here on the program. We have more for you coming up, of course, on this show. Next week, we get back into more FanDuel talk with our good friends Ron in New Jersey and Santoro, also in New Jersey. That's going to be great. Hope you enjoy that. And until then, enjoy all this great playoff action and golf, too. We'll see you next time.